Today on Real Radio.
There will be a false church who the book of Revelation says is a harlot with robes who rides upon the back of the beast, a false church in the last days.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're in a lesson taken from Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. We'll also look at other passages, of course, but this one verse in Matthew 13 serves as our primary text today. It's about the parable of the leaven. Now, leaven is a term we don't often see in Western culture these days, yet it's mentioned several times throughout Scripture. Sometimes it's literal, sometimes symbolic. And the question is, how did Jesus use the term in this context? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable of the Leaven.
In Matthew 24, mark this down. This is exactly what he's talking about. Matthew 24, 12, Jesus said, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached." Think of that. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached." I just mentioned Billy Graham preached 2.5 billion people. What did that mean? Was that of any biblical significance? Of course it was. But not everybody was reached, were they? Jesus said, as we approach the end, there's going to be heartless people, as cold as ice, unloving. Oh, and by the way, one of the other signs will be the word of God will be preached all around the world. It's too bad, huh, that the word of God being preached all around the world doesn't cause everybody to be loving. Wouldn't that be nice? And Jesus is telling us that not only is the word of God preached, now look, I don't want to start a riot here tonight, but understand this. Are we supposed to preach the gospel to every creature? Yes. Are we not supposed to go out to all the world and preach the word of God? Yes. Are we not supposed to have missionary ventures? Yes. But clearly we will not reach all people on earth. How do you know? Because the Bible says in the book of Revelation in two places that there's going to come a time during the tribulation period that because of the gospel, though it is, listen, it is going out tremendously during the tribulation period, John says there's going to be so many people saved you can't count them all. But there's still something wrong. What is it? Before the end can happen, which is the reference here, book of Revelation answers Matthew 24, before the end of the world can take place, or I should say the end of the age as we know it, at the end of the 7-year tribulation period yet to come, something has to take place. The gospel has to be preached in all of the world and then the end comes. Do we have any record of that in the Bible? Yes. The Bible says that in the book of Revelation, God will dispatch his angels and they will fly through the midst of the atmosphere. This is going to be awesome. And they proclaim the everlasting gospel to all the inhabitants of the earth, and then the end comes. Wow. Wouldn't it have been amazing if last week that meteor going across over Russia would have said, "Hey, everybody, Jesus Christ is Lord, died on the cross, rose again from the grave, he's Savior of the world." Can you imagine if that out of that fireball, this voice came out? Can you, oh man. Well, there's going to be a day when a couple of angels, the Bible says, is going to fly through the atmosphere. Not space, atmosphere. What's it going to look like? I don't know. I'll be watching from up there, watching them below us do the job, according to Revelation 19. So, the end, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. That's an awesome thing. But listen to this. We're talking about a time, and we're talking about a time now when Jesus says, from the birth of the church to the end of the church age where the church is raptured up into heaven, that's what culminates. The church was born when the Spirit came down, and the church will graduate when it goes up. in the rapture, whenever that comes. If it's next week or 100 years from now, that's when the church graduates. We don't know when that's going to be. But all along the way, the Bible warns us, Jesus tells us, that one of the characteristics of the work of the church in the earth is that it's going to be tainted by things from both outside and inside seeking to destroy the church. I got news for you. This is not very encouraging, what I'm going to say. But church is going to suffer greater attacks. Church is going to be brought under tremendous persecution at some point in time, increasingly so. According to the Bible, there is going to be a false church arise. It's going to look great, but it's going to be off on doctrine. It's going to be askew on doctrine. And the true church, according to the Bible, unless the Lord comes back, remember what Jesus said? Unless I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Wouldn't it be amazing if it all was reversed? Nah, it's not going to work that way. You and I do not, listen, church, you and I do not want, and nor do we believe, that we can be such great Christians that we can take the place of this parable and we're the leaven. And we are so good and we grow so much and the church gets so big that we wind up filling up the whole world and making it one big Christian happy world. But listen, there are some guys, I'm not going to name their names, but they're big time right now. They believe what I just said. They believe, they're famous people, you know them, they're household names. They believe that we're going to grow so big, the Christian church, which I think is absolutely insane to think. The church is going to get bigger and things are going to get better and we're going to create a kingdom on earth. We're going to make it all so good that Jesus has to come back because we make it so good. We are going to permeate the earth, and they use this parable for their actions. This very parable. They twist the very meaning of it. No, my Bible tells me that we are going to decline. I don't know how that makes you feel, but take your feelings and throw them out the window. Because the Bible says things are going to get tough. And the church is going to be persecuted. When, Pastor, when? I don't know. I think the church is already under persecution. It certainly is in the world. How bad will it get for us? I don't know. What does it matter? Does it matter? It doesn't matter. Why should we escape when our brothers and sisters right now, I just got an email where there's brothers and sisters that are dying. In North Africa, on a daily basis, there's Christians dying right now because of their faith. 11, dangers over the long haul. The church is going to experience difficult time. Why? Because leaven is infiltrating. And we'll address the exactness of what leaven is in a moment. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, listen to this. This is all under the argument of dangers over time. Why? Because of leaven in and around the church. 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times, church, circle that in your Bible, perilous times. The word means to shave off, to scrape down, to whittle away strength and power. In the last days, last times, scraping of power and scraping of strength will happen. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Sounds like a lot of people working for us up in Sacramento right now. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. What did the Bible just say? From such people, turn away. Is that radical? Huh? Do you think that's radical? Wow. Oh my goodness. Church, are you guys with me? Are you listening? The Bible says in the last days, evil is going to wear on you like a contractor or a carpenter planing a piece of wood until it goes from a 4x4 to a toothpick. Perilous times are going to be coming. And here's the deal. As a Christian that's going to hold on to the Word of God, it's going to cost you. To those who are going to look religious, but they are going to compromise, it's not going to cost you anything. It's going to be easy for you. And you need to choose tonight. Think about it. To obey God in his word, to follow him, and to say, Lord, I want your word lived out in my life. Remember, Jesus told it to us this way. He said, watch out when all men speak well of you. For so they did the false prophets who came before you. This is tough stuff, but it's necessary stuff. This slow shaving off is like, in my mind, Samson getting a haircut. What a knucklehead that guy was. Flirting around, oh, you know, playing all these games. You know, she finally caught on eventually. Started cutting his hair, and there's a covenant with him and God. And the thing about it, with every bit of cutting of his hair. Now, look, it wasn't that he had so much protein in his hair that he kept flexing his muscles and, oh my gosh, like his hair is like kryptonite or something. It was this outward symbol of an internal commitment he had with God. And he started flirting with the power of God and this knucklehead girl and, you know, well, whatever. And he got sloppy. Samson, with his hair getting shaved off, lost his strength. God rescinded his anointing from his life. And you know the story. Got his eyes cut out, among other things. Wound up costing his life. But what was he doing? Samson, perhaps, like the church today, or the organized church today, tolerated things. Became very tolerant. Our culture is so sad. In religiosity today, in Christianity today, the word tolerant has become some sort of a badge of honor. It's almost like if you speak out against the word tolerant, you're somehow from, you know, from Mars or something. But let me remind you, I challenge all of you, especially educators, go look up what the word tolerant or tolerance means in the most ancient English dictionaries, and you will be shocked. It's completely not what it means today in our schools. Look up Noah Webster's definition of tolerance. See, what are you bringing this up for? Because, listen, a godless form of tolerance uses words like acceptance. Look, we all want to be accepted. But it prostitutes things. That's part of the leaven. It creeps in. You guys, every one of us, all of us, I'm pointing at me first. The leaven has already crept into the way you and I think. It's already in your life. And now things that are being spun and declared, made law, or it's vogue, or the Hollywood clan says it's so, and the Bible stands there like this. It has said the same thing for thousands of years. And listen, I'm only asking us, when you see what the trend is proclaiming and you see what the Bible says, are you ever tempted or thinking, yikes, I believe what the Bible says, but I better be quiet about that other thing and that other direction. Oh boy. Woo! Leaven is advancing in our lives. It's everywhere. But God doesn't excuse it. And 1 Corinthians 5, this is a perfect example. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, Paul says to the church at Corinth, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven, leaven's the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. You guys are saved at Corinth. What are you doing tolerating stuff that's ungodly? For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Isn't that awesome? Now look, hypothetically, before we move on, hypothetically, you go to class tomorrow, and there are certain things on your high school or college campus that it is expected of you to believe. Did you know that? It is expected of you to believe. It's expected of you to think. And if you deviate from that, you will pay the price. I had a sweet brother here at this church, a wonderful man of God. He was telling me Sunday, I'm going to be going before this panel for my possible job, and it's a big deal, very big deal. And these guys, he's going to do, I think it'll be grilled on an oral exam. And he comes up before these officials, and they're going to ask him stuff. He's got to do it. And I'm listening to him, and we prayed, but I told him, you should have seen his eyes. He didn't know what to say. I said, whatever you do, if they say to you, are you a religious man? Say, yes. Don't say anything more than that. If they come back to that and they say, do you believe in God? Say, yes. If they keep pressing it, listen, young people today, if you're on the college campus, listen to what I'm saying. If they start pressuring you and prodding you, know this, nothing good's going to come out of it. Jesus already told us this. Jesus said, keep your mouth shut because you don't throw the pearl before swine. And I said, whatever you do, buddy, don't go up in front of that council and think you're going to preach the gospel to them. And even if they ask you, don't answer. You could say, I'll meet you later after. If you want to talk, we can talk later. But don't speak about that. Listen, some of you, you go to court. You put your hand on the Bible. You swear an oath, and that's all fine and dandy. But don't go up there in front of the court or the judge or the attorneys and start giving the four spiritual laws. You're gone. I'm telling you, they'll dust you. Why? Because they have already been completely consumed by leaven. And you might as well be speaking Martian to them. Be very careful. The next danger is this, danger from within. Danger from within. Jesus said, a woman came and hid the leaven. This is covert. It's unknown. Something's wrong. Whoever and whatever she is, and I'll give you my opinion. It's only my opinion. In the context of leaven being sown, leaven being something that is bad and grows and affects the whole group, and Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. We're all on safe ground right now. If you apply that biblically, again, always let the Bible interpret the Bible, you will come up with thoughts like this. Jesus warned in the seven letters to the seven churches, there are those who have that evil doctrine of Jezebel, the woman who brought in spiritual adultery and fornication into the church. Interesting, huh? Think of that. Babylonianism, false worship. Whatever is going on, a woman sneaks it in. I believe, look, Jesus is not picking on women. I think he's warning us that in the last days, to those of us who are reading this in the 21st century, there will be a false church who the book of Revelation says is a harlot with robes who rides upon the back of the beast, a false church in the last days. I think he's warning us. And I think the more you get down the hallway and corridor of time and you approach the last days, it will be even more clear. And she's hiding something. Listen, the gospel is to be proclaimed, not hidden. It's to be preached, not snuck. Snuck. That sounded funny. Sneaked. Snookered. Dangers from within.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio in a lesson called The Parable of the Leaven, a look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, and of course some other passages that mention the term leaven. It's part of Pastor Jack's series on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, let's get to another Ask Pastor Jack, which we like to do on Fridays. Ask Pastor Jack is a great way to get your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. We always try to get to as many as possible. Just send your question to Ask Pastor Jack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Ask Pastor Jack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. All right, Pastor Jack, here's an interesting one. A listener writes, Pastor Jack, simple question, what was the relationship between Cain and Abel? Are they twins? And then he goes on to ask, or did the devil father Cain and Adam father Abel? What was their relationship?
Okay, yikes. First of all, yeah. It's not the latter, okay? The Bible's pretty clear about that. They're brothers. It says they're brothers. It doesn't say that they're twins.
Okay.
Okay, and it doesn't say that Satan propagated anybody. Okay, that's just not true.
Okay.
Their relationship, clearly, must not have been a good one. Because when you read Genesis, you find out that, number one, Abel had a very personal relationship with God. Mm-hmm. His worship was from the heart. His worship was very, very real. His worship was natural for him. Mm-hmm. How do you know? Because I've read the book of Hebrews.
Okay.
Go to the New Testament and you'll read in Hebrews chapter 11 how Abel's offerings to God were acceptable to God.
Right.
His heart was in the right place. Mm-hmm. But Cain, in jealousy, interesting, in jealousy, killed his brother. Cain killed Abel. Why? Well, the Bible, it's interesting. Listen, the Bible tells us, God says to Cain himself, if you just do right, your offering will be accepted. I mean, let me paraphrase.
Okay.
Cain, I've not given your brother any particular foot up on anything. Both of you have the choice to do what's right. Choose the right thing.
Right.
And God even warns him. He says, sin is crouching at your door. That's what that word means in the Hebrew. When he says, sin is at your door, watch out. You better rule over it. You better conquer it. God's warning him.
Yeah.
He didn't do that. He went down a path of envy. He went down a path of jealousy. And by the way, religious jealousy and religious envy is the most dangerous, in my opinion.
Yeah.
No. I mean, that has spawned cults and aberrant thinking. Yeah. It spawned crazy concepts and ideas that somehow Satan can produce people, and maybe he's kind of like God, or he's the altered side of God.
Yeah.
That is just lunacy, okay? Satan, the Bible says, is a fallen angel. Remember that. He's a fallen angel. You can read all about Satan's origin and his demise in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, for example. You can learn more about him than what you care to know in those two chapters. The point is really a difference between true worship and false worship. And in that jealousy, Cain killed Abel. And that's an amazing thing. Think about it. By the way, you know, I love this question because check this out. Right now, all across America, there's all this talk about gun control, for example.
Right.
We need to remove guns from the population. What on earth is that going to solve?
Right.
You take guns away, for example, from the good people, because mm-hmm. they're law-abiding.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll even obey bad laws.
Right. Yeah, good point.
Good people obey even bad laws.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bad people obey no laws.
Right.
So if you remove all the guns from the culture, for example, somebody will get a baseball bat, a knife, or a rock and kill you. Cain did not use a gun.
Yeah.
Cain used a rock.
Right.
And killed his brother because that is what resided in his heart.
Right.
He was a murderer because he was jealous, because he was envious. These things, all left unchecked, lead to death and disaster. And that's what happened to Cain. False worship. He made his offering unacceptable and without the right parameters, mind you. He brought a grain offering, and Abel brought an offering of blood. Innocence was offered, but Cain came with the offerings of his own hand. God does not receive our works. God must receive innocence.
All right. Thanks, Pastor Jack. Email your question to AskPastorJack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. AskPastorJack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.